This is Back to the Bible, and I'm your friend Theodoria. Stay tuned for the next half hour of music and Bible study designed to make Christ a living reality in your 20th century life. That song really introduces our subject for today, praying always with all prayer in the Spirit, in just a few moments. Today is the final message from our study in the book of Ephesians, the final message of Volume 3, the final time in which I will mention that this book is yours free. I want to send it to you. So write for your copy of the free book entitled Abundant Living, Volume 3. It's ready for mailing, will be mailed to you, postpaid. Do so now. This is the third of our volume in our studies in Ephesians and the final one. Our address is Back to the Bible Broadcast, Lincoln, Nebraska, 68501. I'd like to make an announcement to you right now. The next 2 days I'm going to do something that Brother Weiss mentioned in one of our chapel services. He was preaching to us and speaking on Christian maturity. And among things that he said was that Christian needed to take time occasionally to check up on himself spiritually with God. I'm going to take a few days to get away, to be alone with God, with one of my brethren here, and we're going to do some checking up and spending some time with God. But Brother Weiss is going to speak for me, and he's going to bring to you the very same thing he gave to us in chapel on Christian maturity. And so the next 2 days, you'll be hearing Brother Weiss. Now we're going to have Brother Voth and Brother Wall singing for us.
There was a time I worried about each little thing. I never thought of praying and never tried to sing, but But one day when my troubles seemed like a mountain high, I heard a voice within me that silenced every sigh. Why worry when you can pray? Trust Jesus, He'll be your stay. Don't be a doubting Thomas, rest fully on His promise. Why worry, 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 when you can pray? So now it's very simple to banish all my care. I leave it all with Jesus, my woes are welcome there. Say, friend, if you have worries and joyless days below, then learn the happy secret that everyone should know. Why worry when you can pray? Trust Jesus, He'll be your stay. Don't be a doubting Thomas, rest fully on His promise. Why worry, 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 when you can pray? Why worry when you can pray? Trust Jesus, He'll be your stay. Don't be a doubting Thomas, rest fully on His promise. Why worry, 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 when you can pray? Ye who are troubled and weary of life, come to the Savior with all of your strife. Trust in Him always with all of your heart. Peace and contentment are His to impart. Why are ye troubled and why dost thou fear? Knowest thou not that the Savior is near? Hath He not promised thy good to attend? Faithfully guide and provide to the end. Is there a heart overrun with despair? Needlessly weakened from worry and care. Courage, my friend, God is still on the throne, guiding His children, protecting His own. Why are ye troubled and why dost thou fear? Knowest thou not that the Savior is near? Hath He not promised thy good to attend? Faithfully guide and provide to the end. Why are ye troubled and why dost thou fear? Knowest thou not that the Savior is near? Hath He not promised thy good to attend? Faithfully guide and provide to the end. Faithfully guide and provide to thee.
turn once more to the sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians, our final message, verse 18 once again. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. With all prayer, meaning various kinds of prayer. Now, we said before that this prayer that he's talking about here is not necessarily a part of the armor, but rather it's by prayer that we put on the armor, by the prayer of faith. We have discussed the armor in detail with you, just this final message with reference to the place of prayer. When he says praying with all prayer, this is not confined to the closet only then, but public prayer, private prayer, maybe a long prayer sometimes, just short prayer, just sentences once in a while, whatever kind is needed. At any time, makes no difference when. Don't have to be in a special place. Anywhere, in other words. It can be audible, it can just be in the heart. He reads the heart. Also various elements of prayer. Various kinds, like asking and receiving. Or like praise and thanksgiving and confession. Or with petition and with supplication. In Philippians, the fourth chapter, he gives us one particular approach to prayer. Very important one. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Then he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, persevering and so on. In other words, praying without ceasing. Satan fears nothing as much as he fears a saint who knows how to prevail with God in prayer. For he knows that will mean that the omnipotent power of God will be rallied against him, that is, against Satan. So, of course, he's going to use every device that to keep us from praying. He's the one that's going to keep us from praying. He'll try fatigue. So often we're so tired, we wait until evening, and then we're too tired, and we just can't really pray. Or lethargy, just putting it off. Or there may be cares and burdens of home or labor or whatever it happens to be. You're so burdened down with things that you just don't know how to pray. Or it may be doubts. You don't, well, what good does it do, you say? Or maybe discouragement. Or even depression. And sometimes depression gets so bad that you can't really pray. These are just all tricks of Satan. But he says here, watching thereto, with all perseverance and supplication. Watching. Be vigilant. That's what the Lord said in 1 Peter 5, verse 8 and 9, for the devil as a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the face, but watch. Be vigilant. No laziness or self-indulgence that unfits us for prayer. Some of you ask, well, where does fasting come in? Right here. In other words, sometimes we have a great big meal and then we want to have a prayer meeting. It's pretty hard to pray after that. Oh, I know, we can do it. But our whole nervous system is taken up with the digesting of food instead of getting us clear before the Lord. There's a time for just laying aside all of this feasting and taking some time to pray. Fasting as such does not give us any merit before God. Just because I take off a day and say, I'm not going to eat today now, I'm going to fast, that I merit something before God? Never. No. But fasting will just simply keep us in better physical, mental condition in order to really pray. Now, sir, there are certain times that must be set aside for prayer. This is always necessary. But also, we must know watching, he says. Watching through the Word. Know God's mind. Know what he wants. Be always alert to pray at every turn whenever it's necessary. With all perseverance, he says. In other words, hold on. Don't give up. God hears. It's Satan that'll hinder, but God'll hear. And no discouragement, even when the answers are delayed. Maybe you've been praying for something for a long time. Have you ever thought about the fact that God knows exactly when to answer that prayer? And He will. But what we need to do is watch and pray, not wonder and pray. We had a dear prayer warrior from Ireland here with us for a year, dear Brother Hare. Never forget what he said one time when we called for very special prayer because of a special radio station that was going to knock off our program, and we said some prayer, and then he said this. He said, now, we don't wonder in prayer. There's prayer and wonder if God's going to answer, but we're going to watch how God is going to answer. That made an impression upon me that I've never forgotten. Just watch how God's going to do it, not being deflected by pressure of other things. In other words, I just don't have any time. Do you realize that you can carry on prayer right while you're working? You dear ladies that wash the dishes, it's a good time to have the prayer time before you. My wife has all kinds of prayer cards from missionaries scattered around the windows right close to where she does her dishes and some of the housework. So you can do that too. There's just many, many ways. Praying always, watching and there unto. And then note, please, he says, praying for all the saints. For all the saints. Now, prayer for all the saints is necessary. Because, you see, we're in a conflict together. One with another. We need each other in this great battle of prayer. In 1 Corinthians 12, he tells us how we're united. This is not talking about prayer right here, but he tells us how we are united in one and how we need each other. And he says in verse 25 and 26, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. Or whether one suffers, all members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. In other words, there's got to be teamwork. We pray for each other. Now, we like to watch a game of some kind, whatever it happens to be. But you'll find, especially in these college games, it's teamwork. Now, one man may never get into the limelight, but his job is very, very important if he's going to be a part of the team. Some fella on the team may be the fella that gets, like say in football, he gets all the running. He gets into the limelight and people think he's the greatest of all, but he wouldn't be much if his team didn't work together. So I may have only a small part in the overall battle, friends. But remember, you are a member of the team. That is, a member of the body of Jesus Christ. Just keep that in mind. So have the same care, he says, one for another. Now there's one more aspect of this prayer that I want to talk to you about. And that is, Paul says, and for me. I want to read these two verses, verse 19 and 20. Now, in other words, pray for me, Paul says, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now, Paul was in a dungeon in Rome when he wrote this letter. And of course we would say, well, Satan certainly got the best of him. But let's just get it, friends. Praying always, he says, and praying for me. Well, why pray for the preacher? Have you ever thought about that? Well, first of all, do you realize that he is put in the forefront of the battle? God has called upon him to lead a congregation. And because he is, therefore he becomes the special mark or the special target of Satan's most vicious attacks. So pray for him. Satan had succeeded in putting Paul behind the prison bars and inside in the dungeon. But the one thing he didn't succeed in, and that is, he did not put out the victorious conflict. There was Paul in that dungeon while behind bars and in chains and all of that. But Paul, while being bound, I say, he was not bound in the one sense of the word. For one place he said to Timothy, he wrote 2 Timothy 2:9, he says, the word of God cannot be bound. Never. And so Paul, was able to, in that prison, to bind Satan by the power of prayer. Some great missionary once said, Satan maybe can put 4 walls around you, but he cannot put on the lid. You can always go to God and talk to him. And that is an important thing. So, he was able to bind Satan by the power of prayer. And so we too must practice to pray for one another and especially for the preacher. No preacher is above need of prayer. So often I feel my utter helplessness before God. But I thank you, because I am dependent upon you, to pray for me. Sometimes I get some nasty letters, and they say, why don't you this and this and this? Have you ever thought about the fact that maybe you didn't pray for me? You need to pray for me. I'm not infallible, that's true. But why should he pray for the preacher? To be strengthened, he says, to be emboldened in the utterance of the word of God. Too often, churches just complain about their preacher or about their pastor. And sometimes, there may be reason. But I'll tell you, friends, it's awfully easy to just tear into pieces. But few really accept seriously the means that God has provided for changing that preacher, if he's wrong, into a preacher of power. Or even giving the prayer warrior maybe a new attitude. Maybe that's what's needed. Then he says, pray for me that there might be given to me utterance for an open door. And may I just right here inject, we need your prayers if ever we needed them. Not only we, but many others who are on radio. Because it's becoming very popular for good stations to cancel 30-minute or even 15-minute gospel broadcasts. We need to pray. Furthermore, pray for boldness, that there may be boldness in utterance. To make known, he says, the gospel. To make plain the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Too much of the gospel is hidden today. It is described thus in the 4th chapter of 2 Corinthians and verse 3 and 4. But if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded their minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Few people understand the gospel today. In so many places, it's not being preached in its purity anymore, as God has purposed it in the grace of God. Now, we are, in this country of ours, engaged in a so-called great nationwide type of evangelism, where everybody is joining in, believers and unbelievers, and praise God for those who are truly preaching the truth and who are truly preaching the gospel. But there are some who have joined this who are not preaching the gospel. Let me just quote what some of them say the gospel is. They say the gospel is to preach on open housing in the name of him who had nowhere to lay his head. That he calls evangelism. To combat racism, and that too, he says, is evangelism. To protest war as being anti-spirit or against the spirit of the teachings of Jesus Christ, that he says is evangelism. To be engaged in political processes, supporting candidates and legislation that is consistent with the tenets of the gospel, they say that is evangelism. And another one says, God has already won a mighty redemption for the entire world, he says. The task for the world is to tell men that they're already Christians, believers, and that they belong to Christ. And that the redemption being worldwide. Salvation is no more, he says, something for the individual, but for the society. And it must, he says, contemporary evangelism is moving away from the winning of souls one by one to the evangelism of structure of society. Now think of it. That kind of evangelism being taught. Beware, my friends, how we associate ourselves with this kind of a thing today. And then he says, furthermore, that the believer is responsible towards binding the power of Satan. And I want to close today's message and this whole series of message by challenging you to enter in with the Lord Jesus Christ in the spirit of prayer. It is our responsibility by prayer to bind the power of Satan. And this is possible in Matthew, the 12th chapter, verse 29 and 30, where he says, "Or else how can we enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except we first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? For he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." And this is the means and the ways by which we do it. By prayer, we must bind the power of Satan to loose those who are bound today. That's right. We have been endued with power and authority in Christ Jesus to do great exploits for him in this field of evangelism. For in Matthew 28, Jesus said, "All authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore now and preach the gospel unto every creature. For lo, I am with you unto the end of the age." And so in the name of Jesus Christ, we not only can, but we must go forward, binding the power of the evil one and loosing the souls that are bound by him.
Pray when the storm clouds gather o'erhead, hiding the light from you. Soul with darkness and dread, pray till the light breaks through. Just keep on praying,
till light breaks through.
Till light breaks through, the Lord will answer.
Will answer you.
He'll answer you. God keeps his promise.
His word is true.
Take a few days to just get away to be alone with God. I know you'll be praying with me. Brother Weiss will be at the microphone. He has two messages of very great importance on Christian maturity that I've asked him to give, which he gave to us in chapel. So be listening on. Here's our mailing address. Back to the Bible Broadcast, Lincoln, Nebraska, 68501. I'm Theodore Epp. We say goodbye, but here's a good thought. Soldiers of the Lord are doing a real fighting when they are on their knees.